Now, the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800 with Dr. Morissette. Brought to you by the Quebec Association of Chiropractors.
Welcome to the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800, another very special episode. We have another guest with us, Dr. Morissette. Today we have Dr. Jocelyn Sicut with us, and we're talking all about herniated discs. Another popular one. I know that last month's on scoliosis was extremely popular and unpopular for all the wrong reasons. I guess we might even say infamous. But a lot of people have problems with herniated discs. Maybe today's episode has some answers that will help you with those problems. As always, the show is brought to you by the Quebec Chiropractic Association. Chiropractic.com is the website, C-H-I-R-O-P-R-A-T-I-Q-U-E. We're now in our 55th anniversary, and you can go to the website for all of our blogs and campaigns and find out how to contact us, including the phone numbers that I will read out now if you want to be put in touch with a chiropractor, 514-355-0557, or toll free at 1-866-292-4476. Dr. Morissette, I'm going to jump right in and ask Dr. Sicut to start this. If somebody walks in and says that they're in pain, they've been told it's a herniated disc. They want to know what the source of the discomfort is and the symptoms. What do you tell them?
Well, first of all, I have to distinguish between mechanical low back pain and discogenic, or pain originating from a disc that is either slightly damaged or is about to herniate. And strangely enough, those two conditions present almost identically. The only difference is once the low back pain has disappeared, the patient is suddenly feeling pain down the leg, the buttock, the calf, the foot, and now panic starts to set in. But at the beginning, you know, we all have seen a lumbar spine that has five vertebrae and discs, and then the body of a vertebrae has a lot of parts, and all of those different parts can actually cause pain. So it's the job of the clinician to assess, is this a normal low back pain that is very easily treated with a chiropractic manipulation? Because when the chiropractor performs a manipulation, he targets muscle tone and he resets, just like a furnace, he resets the state of the muscles, and suddenly the patient walks away. But in the case of a disc herniation, the results might not be the same. So it's very, very important for the clinician to actually perform a history. And that history will tell him about 90% of the diagnosis or the suspicion that a disc herniation is about to take place. So Dr. Morissette is very familiar with that. I guess he's got, how many years, Dr. Morissette, you have some practice?
How many years?
Yes.
You really want to know, because that's going to show my age. No, I've been in practice 46 years.
46 years. Well, we're all familiar with this type of stuff. Like it comes in all the time in our clinics. And if we say that we think we have the suspicion that it's a disc herniation, then we can say that we have four types of disc herniation, and they don't have the same presentation. And so the four types are very simple. Is a bulging disc and a protrusion, an extrusion, or a sequestration. So all of these have a different prognosis. It also depends where the herniation is in the canal. Is it in the middle of the canal, or is it to the side where the nerve exits? A foramen is where the nerve exits. And then if you have a disc herniation that has seeped into the foramen, the nerve is pinched, and it's got a very different presentation. A central bulging will most likely present with very light pain, or what we call sciatica, but a foraminal stenosis is extremely painful, and the patients are in distress and experience quite a lot of numbness, tingling, and pain inside the leg. So that's why a very good examination can confirm the susceptibility of the patients, or confirm that he has a disc herniation. And at that point, the signs that he manifests will dictate how the treatment will take place. So, you know, who is the target to get a disc herniation? Well, patients between 30 and 50 years old with a ratio of 2-to-1 in favor of male will get herniation, disc herniation. And you have to think of a disc as a Dunkin' Donut, you know, what do you call it, a Boston Donut, where you have the annulus, which is what surrounds the disc, and inside you have some cream, which is the nucleus. And when there is a fissure, that cream will seep into an area where you have a lot of blood vessels and a lot of nerves, and that's the cause of the symptoms. Now, this can take a manifestation that is, you know, out of proportion. People will be bedridden for several days or several weeks. But most of the time, people will walk in before this occurs. And 95% of disc herniation can occur in the lower segment of the spine, L4, L5. And then a little later, over 55 years old, the herniation occurs slightly higher in the thoracic, in the L2, L3 area.
So would you say, Dr. Sika, would you say that because of L4, L5, or L5S1 disc herniation not being treated, that it will cause, by compensation, by adaptation, or whatever you want to call it, will therefore destroy the higher discs in the spine?
Well, yes, actually, what happens, the spine, as we age, we lose our curvature in the spine. And we call this a lordosis, which is the curve of the low back. And what happens is the patients are going about their activities of daily living with a very proper biomechanics. So they're sitting a lot in a slouched position, or they're lifting objects with a round back. And as a matter of fact, I do remember someone, it was actually a judge that was diagnosed with back pain, and was asked to do a lot of abdominal exercises, but he did so much abdominal exercises that he generated a humongous disc herniation at L3. So we've got to be careful about the people that are telling us what to do, and not engaging in all kinds of sports before we have a proper diagnosis, and leave it to someone who is qualified and specialized in this type of ailment, because it is very complex and it can turn into a surgery. So it has to be very well diagnosed. And the way to diagnose this, first of all, is to do a very, very thorough examination, because the history will tell us about 90% of our suspicion. And then once we examine and we confirm the severity, and we associate, the clinician will associate the signs. And the signs are the possibility that the patient has a nerve pinch, and then the clinician may require at that point to confirm the herniation with an MRI, which is the gold standard. Now, you got to be careful, because there's a lot of patients that will come into a clinic and they say, I've been diagnosed with disc herniation on an X-ray, and an X-ray does not show disc herniation because the herniation does not have calcium. So MRI is the standard, and it will provide us a confirmation of the cause. Not all the time, but about 70% of the time, because there are other pathologies, other symptoms that may be mimicking a disc herniation. For example, a sacroiliac dysfunction is often mistaken by a disc herniation, because they do create pain down the buttock, but the sacroiliac joint will not go down to the foot. So if the patient walks in with pain traveling to the big toe, it's certainly not a dysfunction of the sacroiliac, which is very well taken care of with a spinal manipulation. But you do have also sacroiliac joint pain when you have a disc herniation, because the muscles of the gluteal area.
Dr. Sikkot, I've just got to cut you off very quickly. We're running up against a break right now, but we'll be back with much more on the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800.
This is the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back to the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800. Doctors Morissette and Sikkot, as we talk all about herniated discs today. Dr. Morissette, I know you had a question for Dr. Sikkot.
Well, absolutely. What happened is that, you know, maybe 30, 35 years ago, I was on the radio show like that, but I was a guest myself. We didn't have the regular Back Doctor Show like we have now. And I was getting phone calls about, can you see a herniated disc on an X-ray? And I answered yes, because we didn't have any MRIs then. It didn't exist. I mean, it hadn't even been invented yet. So the only thing we could rely on was our good orthopedic, chiropractic, neurological exam and our X-rays that are done and still are done standing up. So my answer was, I can see that there is a diminished height of a disc at L4, L5. Well, L5 is one because those are the areas that are most common for herniated discs. But that was the only thing we could rely on. So what Dr. Sikkot said before the break is that we can't see a herniated disc on an X-ray. Well, the only thing I can differ about with that answer is that it gave us some kind of a hint that the height of the disc had diminished maybe by 20, 30, 40%, and sometimes didn't even exist at all. And then calcification started coming in, and then you had fusion coming into those two vertebrae. So now that we have MRIs, I must admit that it's a totally different story, totally different game. We have so much more information than we had before. So thank you very much, Dr. Sikkot, for telling us that we can't see a herniated disc on an X-ray.
Well, you're welcome, but you're actually right. I was going to say that once the disc starts to calcify, we can identify some kind of a contour. And if the examination is well performed, and then you look at the X-ray, you do get a suspicion that you have either foraminal stenosis or you have a disc that is touching the nerve. So, but the gold standard is the MRI, because we can see a transverse cut, and which is called an axial cut, or a sagittal cut, which is the spine is imaged as if you slice a banana. But what's important is to work with a radiologist the radiologist will submit a report, and he describes what he sees. He'll see, for example, malformation of the spine, the alignments, or compression of nerves. And he's also trained, and radiologists are very, very good, and they spot red flags. But the clinical correlation is not up to the radiologist to perform. It's the clinician that examines the patient. And at that point, you can say that, you know, the pain source you can pinpoint, but it's not always simple, because some people have a very, very well-preserved spine, and you cannot see the reason for a disc herniation, and then they have a lot of pain, and some people that have horrible spines and don't have any symptoms. So the conditions are not so easily diagnosed, but once you, if you've done it for a long time and you do a methodical history examination and treatment, then you've got to follow your condition. You've got to follow the patients, but sometimes patients are in panic because they think that it's a tumor, but there is a 48 different causes of low back pain and sciatica, and 97% of those causes are mechanical. So this could be a spondylolisthesis, which is a fracture of a vertebrae, could be an anomaly, and you've got non-mechanical spinal conditions, such as, which is only 1%, tumors, inflammatory condition or abscess, or visceral diseases, 2%, so pancreatitis and some prostatitis and some reasons for. But 97% of the time, you're faced with something that originates from the disc, either through degenerative disc disease or a disc herniation, because when you have pain in the leg, it does not always mean that you have a disc herniation. Now, disc degenerations appear to be from genetic origins, and there was a twin study done in 1991 with 20 pairs of identical twins, and the findings indicate that physical loading, handling heavy objects or bending, twisting, or static posture appears to influence this degeneration, but to a very modest effect. And so often people will say, well, how come my friend works a lot harder than I do, and I sit all day long and I just walk around, never do anything risky, and I have degeneration? Well, it's mom and dad that passed you on the genetics. And if you do have the gene for a spine that will degenerate very quickly, doesn't matter what you do, and you just have to engage in sports that is non-impact sport or weightlifting. So, but people are often faced with this type of condition spontaneously, because out of about 400 patients in our clinic, we found out 83% of the patients will say, well, it progressively showed up, and I just woke up the next day and suddenly I had pain in my leg. So contrary to what we hear on the street, you create a disc herniation only when you lift or you have an accident. That's not the case. It prepares itself long time before it appears.
Right. That last one that makes you go to the chiropractor is just the straw that breaks the camel's back, but it's a long road of things to lead up to that moment.
So I have a question here. You just talked about long-term setting it up, herniated discs, and now we've come with these cell phones and holding the cell phone, watching, you know, waiting in the waiting room or waiting for a bus, and the text neck kind of syndrome that has now emerged from having a cell phone in your hand all the time. Now, I think we're going to have more and more cervical herniated discs because of that. What do you think, Dr. Scott?
Well, there is a lot of very good studies. And one study that I recall is the use of cell phone with people with their neck bent forward. And they found out that it changes the center of gravity. It changes proprioception. People start to walk differently. They don't have the same ability. So the spine originally has curves in what we call the lordosis in the cervical and lumbar region, and a kyphosis, and that is for a reason. It's to balance ourselves, and then reading or using your cell phone for half an hour or an hour in the bathtub is really terrible for the neck. Now, there is, during COVID, I do remember receiving a lot of phone calls, people asking, you know, all of a sudden I've got low back pain, why is it? And they were sitting on a couch working inappropriate workstation and a lot of neck pain. And I do have a lot of people that come in with flat spine and they require treatments. And what is essential at that point is to do an x-ray to see the shape of the spine, not just treat it without looking at it, because if we do treat the spine that doesn't have a proper curve, the problem will never get solved. And so they have to eliminate aggravating factors, and sitting, running, impact sports are very harmful. And there is also some exercises. People will, you know, my biggest competitor is YouTube, because people will pick up some exercises and will apply it to their condition. And often you do have patients that have very severe degeneration and spinal stenosis, and they look at a video, this exercise that's called the Cobra, and they complain of radiating pain that increased, because it's been proven with kinematic MRI movement, you know, we can have the spine bend forward and backward, and we can, you know, since 2008, we have proof that if you extend your back when you're standing up, the disc herniation will increase. And if you bend forward, it will decrease. Now, that is...
Dr. Sikkot, I'm just going to cut you off very quickly. We're bumping up against a break here. So I just want to remind our audience that you're listening to the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800, brought to you by the Quebec Association of Chiropractic Doctors. Chiropractique.com is the website, chiropractique.com. We'll give out the phone numbers on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. It's the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800, talking all about herniated discs. Dr. Morissette, and this week our special guest is Dr. Sikkot. Dr. Sikkot, what is the loaded gun analogy for herniated discs?
Well, it has to do with the twin study, or it actually did not publish this, but it does help patients to understand susceptibility to having genes. So imagine you have a gun, and inside you have a bullet. That bullet represents the susceptibility, and if you trigger the gun, and that is the activity, you will get more damage than someone who doesn't have a loaded gun. So you can engage in any kind of very rough activities, and I do remember treating a landscaper from the Eastern Bloc, and this man was absolutely humongous and was 6'4", and did not have any damage. He worked all his life lifting and pulling and shoving in landscaping. All his life, he had an impeccable spine at 55, 60 years old, if I do recall. So that is an example of someone who was genetically blessed. But that's not the case for everyone. So for people that, in general, when you do have symptoms of degenerative disc disease, which is stiffness or difficulty bending forward, and it normally is alleviated when you rest with your legs propped up on a pillow, you have to eliminate impact sports such as running, bending, jumping, and you have to look at gliding sports such as doing elliptical, impact-free sports such as cross-country skiing, swimming, and cycling. Now you gotta be very careful if you have herniation. You start swimming crawl, because in 2016 they looked at all the athletes and they asked themselves which sport does create the most damage for the spine, and they actually came up with weightlifting, rowing, athletics, and swimming, because the Olympic swimmers use their legs quite a lot, and it's quite difficult, or it wears out the L4, L5, L5S1. So if you do engage in swimming and you do have symptoms of sciatica, do not use your legs as very strongly. Now, prolonged sitting increases susceptibility of low back pain, because it does create a lot of muscle stiffness. And let's just look at some intradiscal pressure statistics. If you are sleeping, we'll just put in a number over here. The pressure on your spine is a numerical, let's say 25. If you're standing, it's 100. If you're sitting, it's 140. But if you're slumped sitting, the pressure increases to 185 to 275. Now, I tell people they should set up a recliner and work in a recliner with the screen attached to the ceiling, so they keep their proper posture. And in that case, they will only get 105 as pressure. It's almost the same as standing. So during prolonged sitting, the vertebra, actually, the greatest change in the disc is at L4, L5, which women are very susceptible to also get what we call a degenerative spondylolisthesis, and that is a condition where the L4, L5 disc will start to degenerate quite faster. So along with that, if you get involved in lateral bending or twisting, it will significantly augment the risks of disc rupture. When lifting objects, people are saying, I bend my knees. You don't need to bend your knees. You need to arch your back, because as you bend your knees and you pick up an object, the object is further ahead of you, and it's a ratio of 1 to 15. So the object becomes a lot heavier. And what is important is that the muscles are engaged, but the chiropractor can teach you how to lift and arch your back properly. And it's actually stunning to see how many people have a difficulty bending because their hamstrings are sometimes too tight, or they haven't learned. They've always bent with a round back, and that gets to you after a while. You can very easily create a disc herniation. On a July 1st, when someone says, "Then come and help me moving my apartment," and this happened to a patient of mine, I remember from Africa. She had a perfect, impeccable spine, and bent to pick up a box to help a friend and created a disc herniation. And life is different after you've had a disc herniation. So you got to be very, very, very careful in the sports that you do. And a lot of patients ask me, you know, should I go to the gym when I have a disc herniation? Yes, you should. But you should get your chiropractor to do your training program, because you should stay mostly on the machines and not the free weights. You got to be very careful, but it's actually essential to have some muscle tone in the upper spine. But you cannot exercise the low back.
Which reminds me, Dr. Scott, some patients get really injured with deadlifts. And the deadlift is something that I say, don't do that. I mean, you kind of just described a deadlift by putting their backs rounded and not bending their knee at all, or if you bend your knees. I think a deadlift, you don't, to maybe to go pick it up. I don't know. I've never done one because I know it's so detrimental to your spine. What do you think about deadlifts, Doc?
Okay, it's interesting that you talk about that. I remember about 5 years, I had during that year, 7 patients who had injuries either with deadlifts and squats. And the common denominator in those people is the progression was too fast. And what happens is, for example, CrossFit is another one where there's a lot of injuries because there's peer pressure. And then they're taught to progress, and they're not taught. The people who teach or if someone learns by himself doesn't know that the curve of the low back needs to be positioned in a certain manner. Now, in itself, deadlifts are not that damageable to the spine. If it's not done properly and if the patient progresses too quickly, they can get some severe damage. What is not good is axial loading, doing a squat with very heavy. And if you are susceptible, you know, we know that an experiment with cadaver and the spine, they simulated bending and twisting with a 20-kilogram box, and it injures about 73% of the specimen. So in the gym, you cannot bend and twist. And axial loading, if you do have foraminal stenosis or degenerative disc disease, it does create nerve pinching. Patients walk out of the gym, and they're very scared. So it depends how it's done, and if it's too heavy, then it does create damage, and it's not recommended.
Well, I've never had to deal with a cadaver, but unless the first year of chiropractic studies, we had to do a human dissection, and we had 3 cadavers for the whole year. And I'll tell you, it's not the same as dealing with a live person. And for these dissections, we had to cover their face and their hands so that it didn't look as much as a human as it was, really. So you brought back memories there, Dr. Sikat.
They also don't pay their bills, guys.
No. I'm still waiting for one to pay his bills.
Dr. Sikat, I want to go back to something you said a couple of minutes ago. Moving, helping people move, that is like a walking into a, if you don't know how to lift things, this is not something that you should be doing, right?
Actually, moving is quite different than exercising in a gym, because if you see yourself moving someone, there are boxes everywhere in the hall, and you often have to lift the box above another piece of furniture and pass it on to someone with extended arms. That is extremely dangerous. Or you're lifting a sofa with very little space, and you have to bend in an awkward manner.
No, it's not.
I mentioned it. I only mention it because Dr. Sicotte, I mentioned it just because we're 3 months away from moving day. And this is something that so many Montrealers, that we are the world capital of moving on a specific date. So if this is something that you're thinking about, or if you have any kind of back issues, then I would, I think, as Dr. Sicotte said, this is something that's dangerous, could add to more problems and more trips to the chiropractor. This is the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800, brought to you by the Quebec Association of Chiropractic Doctors. Chiropractic.com is the website. The phone numbers, if you need a chiropractor, are 514-355-0557 or toll free 1-866-292-4476.
This is the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. It's our final segment on this month's episode of the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800. Dr. Morissette, and joining us this week, Dr. Sicotte. We're talking all about herniated discs. And Dr. Sicotte, let's talk about some of the treatment options that are available for herniated discs.
Mechanical low back pain can be very easily treated with chiropractic manipulation, because the spinal manipulation targets some of the receptors that are in the disc. They are in the muscles, and they're very sensitive to different type of stretch, the acceleration, and the chiropractic adjustment inhibits spasm. So there is no problem about with that. When you get to some severe symptoms of disc herniation, the patient is often complaining of spasm in the upper part of the spine or a different area in the neck, and then again, chiropractic can help at that moment. But if you do have some very severe symptoms, it has to be watched and followed very, very quickly, and some methods of tractions or distraction are recommended. And in one study, if the patients were followed very closely, they saved 78% of the patients to receive surgery. So making sure that the clinician that you're contacting is research-oriented. And this is a tip for any kind of health issue, whether you see any kind of specialist. If someone is recommending a treatment, you have to memorize this question and ask someone to provide you 3 to 5 research that supports their recommendation. Now, what is actually very joyful is patients walk in with a list of what they think of their differential diagnosis is, and their vocabulary has increased and their understanding. But if they do search on Google.com, they will get commercialized or biased recommendations. And I did say about YouTube, and the people who are giving recommendations are not, do not know what you have. So you've got to be very careful, and you have to be in the hands of a specialist, someone who will follow you very closely, because some of these conditions are irreversible. For example, degenerative disc disease. Once your car is rusted, it's rusted, and degenerative disease is not curable, or neither is spinal stenosis. It's controllable. But a disc herniation, depending how it is evolving and what type of disc herniation, for example, a sequestered disc and an extrusion will resorb or disappear a lot faster than a bulging or a protrusion. And that is because it does stimulate an immune reaction of a foreign body. And what happens, it brings blood vessels and identify this as a foreign object and increase the inflammatory degradation of this thing. So, yes, there are a lot of statistics, but there are, unfortunately, some people where they wait for so long and then the disc herniation becomes hard substance, and they do have to go under surgery. So this is a very unfortunate situation. So regardless of the size of a disc herniation, the doctor needs the conservative treatment when making the treatment decision. So conservative first, and this is largely will avoid some economic burden and side effects of surgery, because if surgery is needed in some cases. I've had a patient where the fragment was extruded behind S1 vertebrae, and there was no way we could target it with conservative treatment. And he had been waiting for 4 years, and right after his surgery, he was able to stand up and walk. And in our clinic, we had trials, and he couldn't stand more than 23 seconds before his leg was becoming numb. So in the first stage, is once you start to have numbness or pain in the buttock or pain in the back of a leg, or if you lift your leg and it does create some electric shock, I encourage you to consult to see if you do have a predisposition to disc herniation, but the spine was not manufactured to hurt. This is something, and stress is not the cause of disc herniation.
If the Dr. Sikai, if the the disc has gone to the third and fourth degree, not the bulge, not the protrusion, you're saying that the body will react to a point where it will, like it's an object, a foreign object, and will it eat it away itself? Could the body heal itself at this point?
Yes, it does. It actually, it's called a neovascularization. Neo for new vascularization. So it does. The immune system, there's interleukin, tumor necrosis factors, and cytokines that will be present. And there's different white blood vessels that are running towards the fragment. So the body heal itself, and it will start to identify this as a foreign body. And in on the average, the incidence of symptomatic disc herniation reabsorption was very high at 62 to 68%. This is a published study of 38 clinical trials. So the resorption rate is another study at 409 patients is 60%. So it's very, very, very common to hear someone say they've had a disc herniation, they waited for a while, they played it safe, and suddenly they're okay.
No, that's what I'm getting at. It's actually, yes, if they wait long enough, if the surgery takes so long to be performed, at one point they don't need it anymore.
Yes. Now, where chiropractic comes in is that once you've had a disc herniation, the segment or the motion segment, the vertebrae and the disc become unstable, pretty much like a flat tire. If you get into a curve with your car and suddenly you're going too fast and there's a flat tire, the front of the car will be unstable. So very often people, after they're over the phase of pain in the leg and numbness, then they start to re-experience, like prior to their herniation, low back pain. And this may last 6 months, and they do need treatment, and they do need supervision to do what type of exercise to do and how to do it. And what happens at that point, once the patient doesn't have like pain, he gets into the euphoric phase, and he starts to think that he'll go back to his normal lifestyle. But someone who's had a fairly important disc herniation has to think about 12 to 18 months prior to getting back to a normal lifestyle.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's what I wanted to get to
is that it's not good to wait until it goes away on its own. It's definitely, you need to see a chiropractor no matter what.
Guys, yeah. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to end it here. But Dr. Sikut, we have a lot more ground to cover on herniated discs. So I would like to invite you back for next month, and maybe we can continue this conversation on air on the Back Doctor Show.
Thank you. It'll be a pleasure.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Jocelyn Sikut. Dr. Morissette, thank you so much.
We'll be
back next month here on the Back Doctor Show on CJAD 800, brought to you by the Quebec Association of Chiropractic Doctors, now in their 55th year. Check out their website, chiropractic.com. That's chiropractique.com for all information chiropractic, their blog, different campaigns and contests, and also to get in touch to find the chiropractor closest to you. 514-355-0557 or 1-866-292-4476.